entrepreneurs on Born to Brew.
You are now listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Adam McChesney. Let's grow.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam McChesney, and I want to thank you for being here today. If you're listening, please be sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a five-star review on Apple and Spotify. We would love for you to share this on social media by tagging me, and this way we can get this content out to more people, along with tagging our guests. Today, we have yet another great episode lined up for you. My guest and I just met over the last few months online. In the world that we live in, there's so many incredible connections you can make online when surrounding yourself with the right people. And he is currently one of them. He's a member of the Apex community that I've been a part of now for almost 3 years. And we also got connected through some similar connections with Clippa, which is an organization that does a lot for the Christmas light installation industry. My guest today is JC Chinowski. He is the owner and CEO at Patriot Illumination in Cape Fear Pro Wash and lives in Hampstead, North Carolina. JC, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I almost wish I had a beer in my hand right now to feel aligned with your view right now, but yeah. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, you're good. And did I say the last name right? I always...
Crushed it. I've heard it like a million different ways, but that was perfect.
Awesome, man. Well, I just love, you know, your energy online, and I am really excited to get to know you a little bit better. And then next week, I'm going to be doing a live with you, which I'm super excited about. But to kind of give you a quick rundown in our audience, we like to take our guests and walk them through the entrepreneur process. So my thought process around everything with entrepreneurs is that entrepreneurs aren't born, they're brewed. And so everybody's got a unique story. And so the first thing that we like to kind of start off with is your history. So if you can give us a little bit of background on who you are, where you come from, and what it is that you do, that'd be a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in New York, and my father and my grandfather are both entrepreneurs in the construction carpentry world. And so I got to work around them growing up. And when I was a kid, I remember back in like middle school, I was doing like a hustle of candy. And I got in so much trouble selling candy, but I bring that back to like just remembering last, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Like, I guess that's where my entrepreneur journey really started, was slinging candy in middle school and almost getting kicked out for doing it too. But that really just sparked them. Like, wow, you know, I can make money just doing this. This is fun. And then as I grew older through high school and college, I always had these little side hustles of doing, whether it was mowing lawns or just yard work, chores for people like that, because I liked making that extra cash. And then college was not for me. It's for some, but it's not for all. It was not for me. I tried it multiple times, and I've been asked to leave multiple times because my grades were just not where they should be. So in 2003, I realized that I was going nowhere fast. I mean, I was just hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, dropping out of school consistently, I had three jobs. I'd literally work from 4 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock at night sometimes, baking bagels in the morning, doing construction, and then working at a bar. Not really conducive lifestyle. And one day I woke up and said, hey, I got to get out of here. So I went and joined the military at the age of 23, went into the Navy, March 2004. And, you know, it was different. It had structure. I had people yelling at me. I had clear direction on what I need to be doing. And I was able to step out of my shell. I was very introverted growing up. I'm still pretty introverted now, but I was able to take on more of a leadership role at a younger age. Through great leaders in the military that have impacted me even to today on the way I lead my team. So very grateful for that opportunity in the Navy and the experience that I've had. I've got 19 years in right now as a chief and master at arms in the Navy. But 2009, after being in 5 years, I was like, well, this is good, but I want to go out and just do something on my own. So I stepped away from active duty, went to the reserves, and moved back to North Carolina with my father, my ex-wife, and her daughter at the time. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start my own business. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're going to do it. Did a little bit of research, and I found the pressure washing world and started Cape Fear Pro Wash in 2009 with my father. Got called back to active duty, and I ended up leaving the States or North Carolina away from the company for 5 years. So the company ran, but it wasn't like a business. It wasn't a company. It was just a hobby, I guess, if you will, for my father. Came back 2014. And then 2019, I was like, I was getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was full-time Navy, part-time washing. I was like, I need to do something. I need some impact in my life. I need some impact with the company. I talked to Pat Clark, who has a very similar story to me, very, very impactful man in the home service industry. And he said, you need Conquer. You need this coaching group. And, you know, it's going to give you the guidance that you need to be successful. So I joined Conquer, and that's where everything changed. Like, just having that accountability and that coaching group in my life just impacted the whole trajectory of our company. So we went from dad and I in 2018 to a peak of 22 employees over the last couple of years. At the height of our Christmas light season, and we did $1.8 million last year.
Amazing. Incredible.
So
that's awesome. So what, you know, obviously going from the military where everything's very structured and then going into the home service space, because I work with a lot of home service companies, and one of the things I always hear all the time is I can't find good people to work. I don't know how to manage employees. I don't know how to bring structure to my organization. What are some key things, like if you had a pinpoint, like what are some things that have translated from the military over to running your business that have set you further beyond where you would have been without that?
Yeah, one of the big things that I'm a firm believer on preaching on is like in the military, when you join, you know, you don't have to wait to a certain rank to become a leader. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the operations manager in a company to be a leader. You shouldn't have to be the lead technician to be a leader. So as you're bringing the team on, setting that precedent early that, you know, you're a leader. You're a leader today. You're going to be a leader tomorrow. Our kids are leaders. You know, everybody can be a leader. So I need to put that in their mindset that don't wait for a certain month to be working here, or a certain period of, you know, the next level of the job description to become that leader. So once you start them and having them believing that they can be a leader today, that's going to impact tomorrow, because they're not going to wait for you to make a decision when they're on a job if they can lead themselves to do it. So I found that to be really helpful to kind of ignite them, give them more of a purpose, and empower them to be better teammates and better humans themselves inside and outside the company.
I really like that. I think that is a huge piece of the problem, not just in home services or small businesses, but in corporate America. That's what everybody kind of just assumes, is you have to be a certain rank or at a certain level in order to feel like you're a leader. And if you've not led people, then you feel like you don't have much to give. Right.
Right.
And so it stunts the growth of people that could eventually bring more to your company and could be bringing more to your company today. So I really like that point. And kind of transitioning here a little bit, we like to talk about ingredients within beer. Obviously, great beer is made from great ingredients. Throughout your entrepreneurial journey thus far, what are three things that have made you successful?
Yeah, so first thing would have to be joining that coaching group, Conquer, because the whole time I'm sitting there trying to do everything myself, repeat that cycle, you know, reinvent the wheel every single time, because I thought I knew exactly what I needed to do to be successful. So I'd come up with this great idea, like all entrepreneurs, and we'd fail and we'd spend a lot of money, make mistakes, and have to start all over again. So being a part of a group that was able to hold me accountable and help me avoid those mistakes, you know, just took years off of the learning curve of how we were able to grow the company successfully year after year. And just by having, you know, somebody to reach out to, somebody to talk to, and just somebody to guide us on the things that we need to be looking at every single day, week, month, quarter, whatever it is throughout the year, just was able to impact us so much. And like I said, we went from just my father and I to quickly growing to up to 22 employees. I think it was 2 years later, we had 22 employees at that point. And so getting a coaching group or a mentor or somebody to just be there to help hold you accountable is a huge impact on my success. My team, I cannot be where I am today without my team. And, you know, I love them. I just, they're part of my family inside of work and outside of work. I'm so grateful for everything they do. So building your team and empowering them to be the leaders, trusting in your team so that they can trust in you and make the decisions without you, because if they're relying on you every single day for the answers, you fail them. And if, you know, every time they go to you with a question or an idea, you shut it down, or you're giving them the answer every single time without them thinking about what the answer could be or should be, then you're failing them, because you're not allowing them to think. You're not allowing them to grow. You're not empowering them to be better leaders for your company. So trusting in my team to make those decisions. And when they failed or did something wrong, it wasn't I wasn't going off on them, yelling at them, just telling them what a horrible person are. It's like, all right, cool. As long as nobody got hurt and the company didn't explode, I'm fine with it. We can learn from it. If we lost a little bit of money, that's fine. It's a training evolution for us to avoid making that mistake in the future. And then they feel more confident themselves that, like, you know, all right, it's okay to fail. I'm not going to try and fail, but if I did, it's not going to be the end of the world. And JC's not going to just go fire me tomorrow because, you know, I didn't send an email off by 4 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
So the way you communicate with your team through those failures and turn them in from a failure to a learning lesson or training evolution is really crucial as well. And then part of the one thing that I'm really working on right now is your network. Your network is your net worth. And just being able to get out there outside of your industry, outside of your local community, and just build a network of wealth, of knowledge, you know, like Apex is just absolutely incredible. I to this day, it was March of last year when David Carroll posted a picture of Ryan and Amy in front of a jet on a runway. I was like, who is this guy? Yeah. And I was like, first they looked freaking incredibly happy. I'm like, I wish I had that in my marriage 3 years prior, but that was a different story. A little too late for that because it was a message on marriage. But then I went down the rabbit hole and I was just stuck. I was stuck in the small home service like realm of like, this is, you hit $1 million, you're successful. And that's all you got to do. And then I found Apex and I'm like, wait, no, $1 million is like nothing. Like you can do so much better and you can help a lot more people. So I was able to network and just grow my network with different industries, different coaching groups, and just people I probably would never talk to 5 years ago that I'm actually reaching out to and doing these podcasts and my Facebook lives to help grow that has been just tremendous over the last year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think all three of those ingredients kind of go hand in hand together, right?
They make the perfect IPA.
They do. I think one thing that I see people struggle with the most is that they're not willing to go join a mastermind, or they're not ever interested in hiring a coach because they think that they know it all. And then they don't have a conducive environment for their team to be able to actually run the company without them physically being there. And then that kind of goes hand in hand. If you want to grow your network and if you want to grow your skill set as an entrepreneur above and beyond where it's at today or above and beyond your industry, you have to have your team running your business. Like there, you can't do everything. And when you jump outside of that comfort zone and you get connected with people from all walks of life, all different industries, your mind just expands. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me is, like, I came from corporate America and medical device sales. I thought if I could make, you know, 100K a year, that would be amazing. And then I made 200K a year. And that's kind of where I stopped at before I went into entrepreneurship. And then I get into entrepreneurship and I'm like, man, these people are just absolutely crushing it. But I was thinking bigger than I ever thought I could actually accomplish. And then you go and you meet other people and you're like, wow, you're still playing so small.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The number one excuse or reason why I hear from people like, oh, I don't want to join this group is it's too much money. Mm. And once you stop looking at it as an expense and as an investment, you know, it just changes the whole dynamic. And if you cannot get your money's worth out of any type of group, you know, a reputable one, you know, like Apex or Conquer, the one, you know, out there and did your due diligence and did your research, then the only person that failed you is you, because you failed to execute. You failed to implement what they were telling you to do because your mindset was, I know everything, and they don't know what they're talking about. Mm. So get past that. I mean, I pay more in coaching fees a year than most American makes right now, mm-hmm. because I know the potential that's out there. And I don't look at it as like, oh my God, it's expensive. You know, I'm holding myself accountable by paying that, by going to these events and reaching out to these people in the network to level myself up, which will eventually level the company up and my team with me.
Oh yeah. I mean, I look at like my first couple of years in working after college, I'm literally paying more now in networks and coaching and all these other things than I made those first couple of years. And I would have never fathomed like parting ways with money in order to do it. But the one thing, I got super, super lucky that I ended up joining Apex a month after I went out on my own in entrepreneurship, because I had been following a bunch of people that had been in Apex. So I don't really know anything different, which is like a blessing and a curse, right? I didn't have to go and try to reinvent the wheel and not get access to the information. But the way that I look at it is I want to condense time. Yep. So I've always been the type of person, like even in medical device sales, I was like, how do I grow within the company? How do I make more money? And I was the youngest person in my role. I was always looking for like that next level, that my opening to go take advantage of that. And in entrepreneurship, you're just trading money for education and networks and things like that if you want to get to where you're trying to go faster. And that's what I think most people struggle with.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree with that. And, you know, I've got a gentleman that I've known in this industry for 8 years, and I just happened to see him a couple months ago, and still working for himself, still, you know, blaming everybody for his problems and doing all those things because his mindset was just so limited to, you know, not think outside of what he knows, not reach out and get help and not pay for the investments to grow himself. And it's just, I felt bad. You know, it's like I said, 8 years later, you're still doing the same struggle every single day. And still, when I talk in the same conversation as we had 8 years ago. So you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable and stepping outside of what you know to grow.
Yeah.
That kind of rhymes, huh?
It does. It absolutely does. It makes all the sense in the world. So going over our brewing process, just like as a whole. So we talk obviously about your entrepreneurial journey from the time you started to kind of where you're at right now. Talk to us about some of the ups and downs, the wins, the highs of the highs and the lowest of the lows.
Yeah. And, you know, starting out on my own with working my father, it was fun and, it worked, but there's challenges of working with family. So, you know, we've had our days where we were just best friends. And then, you know, I just had a bad day and didn't want to be around him and let him know it. But luckily he's still there by my side. So I'm grateful for that. And, you know, in the beginning, when we did the hiring without the coaching group and all that stuff, we didn't know what we didn't know. So we would just make a lot of mistakes, didn't have systems in place, didn't have backups for the backups where we needed in case a machine broke down, you know, or if the guy quit tomorrow, like, what are we going to do? We didn't have that. We weren't thinking ahead. We were just thinking today, now, and focusing on today. And that was it. And really, we need to be planning for tomorrow and the future. Mm-hmm. So now when we're hiring for next month, next quarter, not for what's coming today.
Yep.
So just having that mindset for the future, to plan for the future. And that's why we do the budgets and all that stuff, just so we can set those expectations early. And then lately too, another big thing that I've really dived into or just started seeing a lot of impact from was, it was always me going to all these conventions, these shows, the trainings, and I'd go to the trainings and I'd have all this knowledge in my head. And then I had to go back all excited because I had 3 days of all this massive impact and how we're going to change the company and, you know, explosive growth tomorrow. And it's like, all right, guys, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, well, what are we going to do with this? Like, I don't even know what to do. So now I start sending the teams out to the trainings. This way I'm empowering them to become better leaders. And then while they're out there learning these things, you know, for the last three that we went out there, admin, sales, and ops, they're all like sending me messages like, hey, like, we're doing this, like, this is cool. So they feel good about their job already. And then like, well, we're doing this, but we could do this better. So that now they know where they can tweak it because they're working with other individuals in their field. Like, you know, the admin rockstar bootcamp I sent my office manager to down in Florida, it was just all admin people. It was her people. So she was comfortable being able to express herself and learn. So investing in your team to get them out there, to give them the training and knowledge so they can come back with the bright ideas, because their mindset's going to be different from the owners. They're going to have different thoughts or processes. They're the ones actually in the field doing it, answering the phone calls on the computers. I stepped away from all that. So it's kind of lost me, and it made sense to get them more involved.
I really like that for a variety of different reasons. Cause I think that, you know, I've been going to events now for 3 years and I have the same problem. And a lot of entrepreneurs have the same problem. Is you go to these events, you're all jazzed up. You have 17,000 different ideas that come in. And you come back and you're just showing up and throwing up. So I think a couple things, you know, is obviously just taking one or two things from those events and putting a plan in place in order to implement it and then over time add more. But the second thing that you mentioned is obviously bringing your team and then also sending them to things and events that are more catered towards to them. And that's where I got a little bit lost about this time last year is when I first got started, I was operating like a seven-figure business owner when I was doing no revenue because I knew where I wanted to go and I had the mindset of this is where I want to go. Along the way, though, as we started to reach seven figures and go to multiple seven figures, I wasn't bringing my team with me. And when they get left behind, it doesn't matter how good they are. If they don't continuously get resold on the vision and be invested in, then you're going to have to carry them behind. And so yep. it's really powerful when they can get in the room too. So that way you don't seem as crazy, right? You go show back up after the event like, hey, we're going to implement all these things. I heard all these amazing things. And they're like, deer in the headlights. Like, what are you talking about?
Yep. No, absolutely. And it's just, again, empowers them. They feel good about themselves. They feel they have buy-in with the company now. If they're coming back with these ideas and saying, hey, we need to implement this or we should try this, and you're like receptive to it and say, yes, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, no, we're going to do it this way. This is the only way. It's really important to them that they have that opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah. Open to feedback, open line of communication, and then taking action on what makes sense. So the next thing that we talk about here is around fermentation and conditioning. So with the entrepreneur process, that is giving us the biggest lesson that you've learned that if you're talking to an entrepreneur, it doesn't matter if they're just getting started or if they've been in business for years, this one lesson that would save them years worth of mistakes.
It had to be the coaching or finding a great mentor in your industry. I just, again, it's the investment outweigh the cost. And it was able to shorten the curve. I mean, we did it for, 10 years of just the vicious mistakes over and over and over. And then it was just me and my father. Mm-hmm. So we were the ones answering the calls, going to jobs, doing the estimates, send the invoices. Like, that's all we knew. Mm-hmm. Now, by getting out there and spending the money, investing the money for somebody to show me a different way, a better way, a more efficient way, so we can get off of the truck and start working on the company instead of in the company. It just made so much more impact for the company, for our community, because we're able to hire now. I mean, having 22 people working for our team is incredible because it's 22 individuals working with you, but you got their family members and all that you're supporting too. So by doing that, the impact you have just speeds up the process. It just grows you as a leader too, because now you can see different ways and have different resources to become more effective. And then understanding that you're going to change. Like the leader I am today is not the same leader I was 5 years ago. And it's good to recognize that, like seeing the path of, you know, the change over the years, because you want to constantly evolve to be better.
Mm. Yeah.
So I absolutely invest into a mentor or a coach or a coaching group or something like that.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest key is having an extra set of eyes on what it is that you're doing that can bring a different perspective, a different way, and also that mindset aspect of being able to hold you accountable.
Exactly.
If you're going in,
accountability is huge. And it's not to say that, you know, you're not a trustworthy or anything like that. It's just that we get so busy with life. It's just hard to hold ourselves accountable to every single step of the way, every single process. That's why it's important to hire. And if you are going to hire for the future, not for today or yesterday. Yeah. You know, we just hired a GM and, you know, we did a 1.8 million, but we know we want to get to $5-7 million. So we had to hire somebody that's done that, not somebody that's working with a $2 million company. Cause that's not going to help us.
Yeah.
We're going to have to like do the training and figure out what it's going to take to get to that next level. So we had to invest in somebody that's been there that can teach us what we need to do. And it costs us a little bit more money, but again, it's shortening that curve to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hire for where you're going, not where you're at today. Love that. So as we wrap up the episode here, JC, the last thing we like to talk about is distribution. So within beer, it's taking it to market and selling it, which I know you love to go market and sell your stuff. Talk to us about what's next for you. I know you have a lot of amazing things going on. I've seen you speak, do a lot of these podcasts and those types of things, and then also what the future of the company is.
Yeah, so we just hired the GM, and GM came on board to really just kind of clean up the books, the systems, and get everything systemized, black and white, just to fine tune it. We think we had a good process, but it can always get improved on. So we've got him there to work on through 2023. The Patriot elimination side, that's staying forever. I don't see that going anywhere. I love Christmas lights. We're doing landscape lights now. I'm very passionate about both of them. So that's going to be my light for the future for my kids and for my team. The wash side, somebody wants to make an offer today, let's go. I love it. It's been great to us. It's just a company that runs very efficiently, but it doesn't excite me as the lights do. So I really want to focus on what's exciting me. Outside of that, really just trying to figure out where I can serve other people. We're starting a Christmas light mastermind group called Beyond the Bulbs, where we're going to be able to hold the people accountable in a collective group to keep everybody on track throughout the year. The thing about the Christmas light industry is it's very seasonal. Mm-hmm. And once January hits and we get all the lights down, everybody shuts down until July, August, September. And we just missed on 7 months of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So Beyond the Bulbs will be an accountability group to hold everybody, just keep everybody on track throughout the year so that we're not missing the mark for commercial clients, for reoccurring clients and things like that. So we're really excited for that to launch May 1st. Mm. And a couple other things working on right now. I'll probably have better vision or better answers for those at the end of next week, because I'm taking a very important trip to really just dive into where that's going.
Mm. Awesome, man. Well, love to, obviously see your growth, loving seeing everything that you got going on. Really excited to stay connected and see you take things to the next level. Really appreciate you taking some time here today, JC. Where can people get connected with you online, whether it's socials, websites, all that stuff? We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, I got a YouTube, LinkedIn, another great one, but it's usually going to be just JC_Chrzanowski. And feel free to reach out to me. I love helping. There's no such thing as a stupid question unless the question is not asked. So I don't care where you're at in your business or where you're trying to go. I'd love the opportunity to be able to help you and provide you with some valuable insight on how to be more successful, because my only goal right now is every day to be able to inspire, motivate one individual. And if that's through a podcast, that's through my live, or just being out with a smile, my Christmas jacket on, I'm here for the community. I'm here for my family. I'm here for you.
I appreciate that, man. Looking forward to seeing everything that you have going on. Thanks again for coming on the episode.
I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Looking forward to it. And I want to thank you again to the audience for tuning in to today's podcast. Please be sure to subscribe, download, and share our content. Leaving a 5-star review goes a long way. We'll see y'all next week. And remember, entrepreneurs aren't born, they are bred.
I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm born to brew. Thank you for listening to Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Adam McChesney.